One winter's evening in 1996, I was working a bit late, and as I was getting ready to leave, there was an almighty otherworldly sound, unlike anything I'd ever heard before. My eardrums seemed to push in, and the air pressure around me changed. It got really heavy. I stepped out of the interior office I'd been working in into a scene of utter destruction. All the windows down one side of the building had been blown out. There was glass everywhere. Car alarms were going off, sirens blaring. It was a Friday night, so there were mercifully few people left in the office. Outside, it was surreal. Dust and debris all over the road and the sidewalks, multiple helicopters circling overhead, their spotlights scanning the ground. There were instructions being barked over loudspeakers, and people wandering around, dazed. It was a massive IRA bomb, and a lot of people had been injured, and two were killed. And so all the roads were closed, and the tube was shut down. And so everyone that was left in the area, I was working at the time in the Docklands, which is just east of the city of London. Everyone who was left working in the area, dock workers, bankers, TV folks like I was at the time, shop workers, lawyers, market traders, truck drivers, everyone congregated in the local pub. Now, the landlady there was outside calling everybody in. Her husband was passing round trays of scotch. There were sandwiches being put together. Everyone was talking. Everyone was checking in on each other. Here were all kinds of people. People who, in London at that time, would never have even been in the same building as each other. And here they were, sat round tables together, talking, responding to what had just happened together. In the midst of the devastation, professional and class boundaries dissolved. Generational and gender separations were gone. We were all in this together, and I had never felt such a connection to strangers. Any fear I arrived with was gone. I felt safe with these people, protected from whatever was out there by this randomly assembled group that had become instant community. Consoling and connecting hugs were freely given. Conversation freely flowed. Money even was being freely shared. Food freely offered. The scene outside and the moment in time was apocalyptic. Yet the scene inside, the response, was one of deep assurance. I'd caught a glimpse of what my grandparents used to talk about, their memories of wartime London when everything was different. Years when nothing was normal. Their memories of being bombed out and of losing everything over and over again, of being hungry, but also of love. The response to the horror for so many was depending on neighbors, sharing all there was, trusting. The 6 long years of war and death and destruction totally disrupted normal life and revealed, laid bare, what cannot be lost. our capacity to love and to share, to be in it together, to feel what it is to truly share a moment in time, share in the truth of being alive. Situations, events that no one would ever choose for themselves can become gift bearers, offering up treasured new understandings, insights, revealing what life really is. What remains when everything else is taken away? Grief, serious illness, imminent death, the impact of a devastating accident, these are all apocalyptic life events that bring normal life to an abrupt end and perhaps reveal truth. Perhaps in the love and care of a medical team or a community gathered around in support, what was important no longer holds any meaning. Life's clutter of accumulated distractions swept away and replaced instead by what it is to acknowledge our complete dependence on one another and on God. COVID. Right? COVID brought extraordinary circumstances to millions around the world. The pandemic brought with it incalculable grief, with the losses that were endured by so many. And it was a significant disruption to normal life. There was much said at the time, do you remember? There was much said at the time that perhaps this experience, this shared experience, perhaps this might just change things. Perhaps the pandemics taught us something really important. Perhaps we'll start doing things differently, live a bit more intentionally, more lovingly, care for each other just a little bit better. And then for many of us, life goes back to normal. That which had been so strikingly revealed gets hidden again. And the world goes on turning. Our gospel reading today is the second of the two parables that follow Jesus' apocalyptic discourse in Matthew. In much the same vein as today's reading from Zephaniah, Jesus speaks of a time of great desolation, of suffering, of war and destruction, famine and earthquakes. Jesus speaks to the inevitability of suffering in this life, and that it is entirely unpredictable. No one knows when it will happen, Jesus tells us, but it will happen. And it's in the context of this discourse that Jesus goes on to teach us the wisdom of preparing. Last week, we heard the parable of the bridesmaids, that we might be ready for what is coming. But what about when it's business as usual? What about when life, this freely and abundantly given life, is ours just to get on with, to live? In a world where so much, where some have so much and so many have so little, in this life, which brings great suffering to some while others seem to have it all, it can be really easy to feel that life's not fair. And so fear of what might be, might happen, can be the thing that drives our decision making. Fear can make us risk averse, so we limit ourselves, our lives, we play it safe. we bury the abundant wealth that we have, the true wealth that is our freely given life. We stick it in a hole in the ground and keep what we have unchanged, seemingly safe. But we're followers of Jesus. And a few chapters back in Matthew, Jesus tells us that those who want to save their life will lose it. Suffering in this life is inevitable. Yet the mini apocalypses of our own lives and the larger ones we share together can be revelatory. They reveal the way we can be, the way we can live together, the way we can care for one another. They reveal the ways that we can feed, shelter, and love one another. They reveal ways to know God, only now visible because everything else is gone. They're a signpost to the kingdom reality. Jesus calls us to be healers of this world, to be active participants, to live fully. Jesus calls us to take this life and do something with it, to bring about the world that we long for, one in which we are all fed and sheltered, one in which there is true justice and abundant love, and an end to war, and an end to killing. This life is a gift. We don't own it or possess it. It's a gift from our Creator God, and it's been entrusted to us for just a while. It's a gift we've been given to put to work in the world, to grow in love and care. We are followers of Jesus. And Jesus tells us that those who lose their life for His sake will find that what's left, when everything else has been swept away, what's left is what's worth the most. What's left is the true wealth that we're called to grow.